Welcome to the Utah Football Fans Podcast. Please like, subscribe, and share. And as always, go Utes! Welcome to the Utah Football Fans Podcast. I'm Bryn, here with James and Gary. It has been a while since all three of us have been together. It's good to see you, too.
It's good to be back. Good to see you guys.
Should I call it the Utah Football and to-be-named Hockey Team Fans Podcast? Maybe in the future. We're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, it's not too lengthy. I think that works. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's a great title. We'll work on that. But welcome to everyone who is here live. Make sure you are following, you're subscribed. Give us that like button. If you're in the chat, say hello. We want to hear from you. Make sure you're following along on Twitter and Instagram. And again, subscribed on YouTube and hitting the notification button so that you'll know anytime we go live or a new episode comes out. Huge thank you to our sponsor, Thomas Orthodontics. Look him up at thomasortho.com. He's also got his Instagram and his Facebook page, so make sure you look him up there. Yeah. Hopefully you watched our interview with Yogi Roth from last week. I just have so many good things to say about it. He was just a joy to talk to. Like, he was so open. I loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a ton of fun. A lot of insight. So if you haven't listened to it, make sure you go back and listen to it, because it was pretty cool to hear some of the stories and for him to open up and for him to talk about things so openly. So I really enjoyed that a lot. That was pretty cool experience.
Gary, you were missed.
You guys did a good job. I wish I could have been there, but they kicked me out. Texas Mike, they wouldn't let me do it, man.
He had had one too many Red Bulls that day and we couldn't risk it. So
there it is. All right. Let's go with the other one.
No, but I was glad to hear he didn't explicitly say that we're still going to be seeing him on our TV screens, but he alluded to that he's still going to be, whatever that means, I don't know. He did kind of drop that he might be calling Big Ten games.
Yeah.
He kind of mentioned that. So I don't know, but
I didn't hear that myself, but.
Yeah,
he mentioned it early on in the interview, kind of mentioned something about the Big Ten, but nothing's been official yet, he said. So,
but
I don't know. We'll see him. I hope he's back. I hope he's in the Big 12 somewhere, because those are the teams. Well, I guess he was calling the other guys too. But anyway, so be it.
And it was a great segue because he did broadcast our spring game that was on Saturday, the Utah spring game, 22 forever game. You couldn't have asked for a better day. Last year it was pouring rain during the spring game, and this year it was probably the best weather you could ask for. So
it was heaven. It was perfect. It was so nice. It was great
sitting in Rice Eccles. I unfortunately couldn't be there, but tell me how you guys felt about it. How did it feel being back in the stadium?
You watch it though. Didn't you get to see it?
Yeah.
On the network. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was good to be back. It's good to be back in the stadium. It felt like going home. Perfect day. You just kick back with a beverage. The best part where you could have a pretzel, the fresh pretzel, because those are going to be the same pretzels you get in November.
Oh.
And they're as hard as a brick. So you get them now and they're fresh and, you know, the fresh salt. It wasn't too bad.
Good. That's a good tip.
Well, let's talk. Let's talk about your impressions, what you saw, what you felt. I already see people making some comments about that. I'll just give you a couple of the thoughts I had about it, and then tell me what you think about it. So, Cam, I mean, first things first, Cam was on the field. I was surprised that he played so much, but it was great to see him. Look, I don't put a lot of stock into spring games or spring practice or spring scrimmage, call it what you will. You got to be careful with reading too much into things, but he was back. And I thought he looked good. He was mobile. I thought his leg looked good. He was in command of the offense, as he should have been, but he was. He was very calm. And you could watch him reading the defenses as vanilla as they are in a spring game. But, you know, he'd check it down. We needed to check it down. He made some long throws. He looked good. So, very positive. And for me, when you watched him play and then you watched Wilson and Rose, and this isn't a cut on those guys. I'm just saying there's this big gap between the starting QB who's been there for, you know, a bunch of years and the other guys. Bottom line, as far as I thought, what I saw is that Cam looked really good for the situation. Then I'll just say this, as far as like the backup, I know that going into the game that Whittingham had said that the Rose and Wilson, it was pretty a dead heat for who's going to be the backup through spring ball anyway. My view is just watching the game. I'm not looking all just the stats or anything like that, but just watching them play and watching them throw the ball. I thought Wilson actually took the lead in that competition. Of course, we're talking spring. There's, you know, fall ball just before the season, but I don't know. That's my view. I thought Wilson actually looked pretty dang good. You can tell he loves to just throw it and wing it. Gunslinger type guy. I was impressed with some of the throws he made.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I mean, it's really hard. Don't look too much at spring ball, right? It's a scrimmage. We've been burned with that in the past where you look at a stat line and you're, you know, blown away and then reality comes. But, you know, seeing Cam Rising jog out of the field, I'm not going to lie to you. It rose some emotions that inside of me that was, it was great. It was great. And yeah, Gary, I echo everything you said. Obviously Cam should look good, right? He's been in the system for 4 years. He knows the offense better than anybody. It was really interesting to see the difference so stark side by side, because he's so calm back there. He knows the offense. He's got a command of it. You're right. He knows when to take those shots. And again, it's a scrimmage. I understand that, but it just looks different. For me, yeah, Wilson, he has a lot of those things that you look for in a quarterback. You can just see the talent level there. He's young, so he makes some dumb throws at a couple of those junctures, but man, he you can just tell there's something different there with him. It's really hard to base a lot off of this one scrimmage, but if it's me, yeah, he's my number two going into the season, and it's really not that hard. I expected, with Rose having already been there for a season, I expected a little bit more and was a little bit disappointed, honestly. That's not to say that he doesn't have a ton of talent, but Wilson looked really good. He made some throws. I think everyone probably on social media, or if you were there, that touchdown pass he had to King was beautiful. And then honestly, the biggest thing for me, the biggest takeaway was seeing Singer at receiver out there. That guy had flashes in that spring game that went, holy cow. I haven't seen a guy like that maybe ever, maybe since Covey, right? He just had a couple of those catches and you could just see the talent level. And I think he had like three catches. So those things were really exciting. Keith, you played a little bit. So it was encouraging and a beautiful day, and, you know, hard to have any negatives come out of it. And everyone stayed healthy, which was the biggest thing.
Yeah. That's always the scary part. So yeah, I unfortunately couldn't be there in person, but I did then end up watching it on Pac-12 Network. So during the broadcast, they interviewed both Karine Reed and Lander Barton at different times. And it was interesting because both of those guys, because neither of them played in the spring game, but both of those guys made mention of how different the huddle is and how different the team is when Cam is playing and when Cam is involved and he's practicing and all these things. And those are defensive guys, so they're not even a part of the offense, and yet they can feel the difference as to when Cam is involved. And we've heard that numerous times from different players. So, and we saw that a lot last year. It wasn't just missing Cam's talent on the field. It was missing that like spark that he brings to the team. So fingers crossed, we get to continue to see that. He looked good again. Spring ball is so hard. And I think that's where I'm at with the QB2 battle against Rose and Wilson. I do feel like Wilson kind of elevated himself more, but you're playing against not the number one defensive stars. I think a lot of the defense didn't actually play in the game. And Rose does have that year of experience on the team. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see after spring ends and then fall camp who comes. But Wilson definitely made the case. He did look comfortable back there, but he's young. He'll be a freshman, a true freshman. He's like 18 years old.
Yeah, he should have been at prom on Saturday night. Like he's literally should still be in high school. And you can see that, but just the talent, there's no denying it. It is there. And when you think about the pedigree, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like his older brother's an NFL quarterback, and you can see that influence. And then coming from Corner Canyon, which has a history of pumping out quarterbacks, and then you combine that with, what is Gary doing now?
I'm reading some of Texas Mike's comments.
I'm just saying Wilson looked great. There's a lot of positives. There's a lot of growth that needs to happen. But it looked really, really good. So it was exciting. It was fun. They looked good.
So. You mentioned Barton. I got to say this first of all.
Good.
You mentioned Barton. Dude, what, his neck is like massive now. What
he's
happened
over had a massive day? Neck.
Oh no, it's I bigger. That neck. It's like neck, shoulder width.
Yeah. Neck impressed. Exercises are
whatever
incredible.
They're doing, man. It was impressive. But yeah, Dorian Singer. Sorry, Texas Mike. Singer, that dude is the long. Here's how I look at it. As far as the passing game goes, with Dorian Singer, the deep ball just becomes a greater threat.
It's open now.
It's open. And Money Parks. You get these two. Yeah. Small guys with speed who can stretch the field. McClain, I don't think played. Mm-mm. You remember, I don't think he played in the game. Big receiver. Micah Pittman, he played. But then you consider our tight ends. Keithy back. So you have these young speedsters or these small speedsters who can go deep. Cam made some good throws to him. Then you got McClain. He's a big receiver. Pittman. And then you've got Keithy, Landon King, and who we didn't see, is it Carson Ryan. Riley?
Yeah, Carson Ryan.
Yeah, he didn't play.
Carson Ryan from UCLA. You look at the threats on the receiving side, and then you've got Glover's coming back another year, and Mekhi Bernard, who is great out of the backfield in catching the ball. So, you know, the pieces seem to be there. And I know Witt has said that they may be looking for another wide receiver. So who knows? I was just impressed with the talent was out there in the spring game. So yeah, I'm not going to put too much into it, but hey.
This is an interesting question though, from Balzac in the chat of how, like what you're saying, Gary, is the passing game is going to be so great this year. And when was the last time that our passing game kind of eclipsed the running game? I mean,
I got to see that. Hey, Balzac, yeah. I have got to see that happen.
I don't think Witt can let that happen. I don't think
Witt he's going to do it.
I know, but it's just so ingrained in him, especially when Utah takes a lead to take the air out of the ball, right? To have that run first mentality. But hey, look, you're right, Gary. You list off some of the names and the talent level that they've got. It's crazy. It's stacked the receiver core.
You'll do what's going to work best. And to be honest, after spring game, I'm still concerned about our running backs. I just am. I don't know. Like, that concerns me. I feel like
we got a transfer guy. I can't remember his name. Gosh dang it. Who's supposed to be pretty good. No, he didn't play. Glover and Bernard. Are you know, two dudes. And then, oh my gosh, what's the other guy?
Who's the Vincent. Dude that transferred in?
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big running back. I can't remember his name. I looked it up. Yeah, what is this, by the way? Gary, are you?
I am not a starter. Look,
are you a starter? Are you a
Star Trek fan? There's no Star Trek DVDs in here, just to clear that up.
Amy Nelson says she's noticing Star Trek DVDs behind Gary. Well, what are they? Are you going to tell? I don't even know what she's looking at.
What is she looking at, Amy?
I don't know what DVD set he has behind there. He's got all sorts of things behind there.
Is it those? Yeah.
It's not Star Trek, I can tell you that.
Anyways, yes, the passing game is going to be probably different than what we've ever seen as a Utah fan.
It's spring game. Come on.
Yeah.
Temper ourselves.
Yeah. It's just the weapons are there, right? That's the biggest thing. The weapons are there. Cam is back. He's healthy. That is the biggest thing, right?
Did it surprise you that Cam played as much as he did? That actually surprised me that he stayed in as long as he did.
Gary and I went to it together, and I actually said that. When I saw him dressed, I went, okay, we're going to get a series out of it. But he played 3 or 4 series. It surprised me. And then, you know, but it makes sense. He hasn't played football, like a real live action football game, in a year and a half. So it makes sense to take some level of live rounds. I mean, I get it, it's the scrimmage. He's wearing the yellow penny. You could tell. I mean, Whittingham had hammered it with, if you get within 7 feet of this dude,
you're cut.
You're gone. Right. Find another team. So you could tell, and rightfully so, but he looked good. It's just different when he's back there. Bryn, what you said, you can just tell. And then that leadership factor, like there's nothing he hasn't seen. He'll get up to the line and he knows how to run the offense. He knows his reads. It's great. He doesn't panic. That's the other thing we've seen last year. That first read's not there. There's a level of panic. Right? Well, what do I do? Not, you know, Cam, he's calm back there. He knows his reads. He knows his progressions, and he finds his guy. So it was great.
And another thing they made mention of on the broadcast is not only, I mean, obviously we know Cam did not play on the field last year. However, he was still on the sideline every single game. He traveled with the team every single game. He was in direct contact with Ludwig all the time. He was studying everything. So it's an interesting perspective of a quarterback who already knew the offense, who now has spent a year basically like being mentored by the offensive coordinator, who's now coming back to play. You just can't beat that kind of experience. And him and Keithy together, who both did that for a year. It's going to be a dangerous pairing, those two, I think.
Yeah, it was cool. It's just kind of that he threw it to Keithy a couple times and you just kind of go, oh yeah, okay. That connection, it's real. It's there. You know, there were a couple. I mean, yeah, it's scrimmage. I get it. But third and eight, boom, Keithy got the ball, moved the chains. So it was fun to see.
So
it was great.
What you don't really focus on is the kicking game. So Becker is the guy coming back, no doubt. But we've got another guy in here, a transfer, I believe. The guy's big. He's like,
I think he's what, 6'3", something like that, 6'2"?
He's very tall. He hit 250 yarders, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. He has a leg on him. I'm going, okay. And he was they tried to freeze him at one time.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Timeout,
and he made it. It's like a 50 yarder. And then he made it. And then I think he made another one, another long, long one. Well, all I'm saying is, I like to see a kicker who has some distance.
Yeah. He kicks the ball, and I don't think the ball
dang, it was nice.
What, 9 feet off the ground?
Line drive. They were line drives, but they went like 70 yards.
It goes all the way, and it went through. And it was funny. They're trying to ice him in the scrimmage, and his own teammates are taunting him, and it was great. It was cool to see it. So, by the way, Steve, good to see you, buddy. Thanks for joining. Steve.
Gary, you don't think about kickers until you realize you don't have one. You know?
That's great. So it was nice to see some pipeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They can get ball sack. Yeah, they can get blocked. So
you got to be careful how you say his name when you say he spelled it with a Z. I mean, okay. So what were your then concerns coming out of spring game? I mean, there's a lot of good to come out of it, but was there anything that just concerns you?
I don't know. It's so hard.
No, because I don't know
the guys. Yeah, the guys that didn't play, right? I mean, Reed didn't play, Barton didn't play, Fano didn't play. Like, there was a bunch of guys who just didn't play for a number of reasons. You got a lot of guys out there who are freshmen. I mean, they're announcing it, literal freshmen out of high school. So it's really hard to get a read. I guess my only concern, I do have a little bit of a concern at the running back position, just because I know what we're kind of getting. I really hope and expect Glover to take that next step. He showed flashes at the end of last year that he can be, you know, the guy. But I need to see it. But it's hard. You know, there's so many guys that didn't play. I don't come out of it worried for anything. So.
Yeah, I can't make a judgment call off of spring, off of the spring game. Fact is, there's been all those practices, a lot of tape, a lot of film. So it's one game you get to see, and a lot of people didn't play. So I don't know. DeMooney, I mean, he's out for the season, with an injury, or linebacker.
Yeah,
you know, solid veteran. So that's gonna hurt. But I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows at this point. So no, I mean, the running back situation, I do have questions about it. I mean, but I can't judge it by that game because they were throwing the ball, oh, I don't know, 75, 80% of the time. It felt like it. Yeah. And some guys weren't playing. So I don't know. I'm not going to read into that yet. I'm just going with the positives because, look, I think anyone in this chat that's been a Utah fan for years have gone to these spring games, and our offenses, I don't know, years ago, there were some bad spring ball games. Yeah, I don't know if you remember those.
Like 14-10 spring ball.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the way anymore. So I think I'm just going with the positive in this because it's a spring scrimmage.
Yeah.
And it's very vanilla, but I feel good about what I saw and the potential that's there. I think, was it you, James, was telling me, did you talk to someone who was talking about Utah's defense?
There was an interview done, and it was Mekhi Bernard was interviewed about the Utah defense. You can go look it up. He just talks about how this defense to this point is probably the best defense that he's come across at Utah. And he said, just the biggest thing that has stood out is the number of young guys who are stepping up, guys who are new to the program, whether to transfer or, you know, freshmen, sophomores that are taking in these roles that need to be filled and how big they're stepping up. Because when you look back, I mean, both safeties are gone, right? The cornerback position is a little bit of a question. The linebacker, like there's questions in certain areas because we're having to fill some needs and these guys are stepping up. There's the one guy, gosh dang it, I should have written his name down. Number four, the cornerback, the transfer from Michigan.
Calhoun?
Yeah, he had some plays. There were a couple plays. He got beat on one deep ball, but he looked really good too. So, it's, again, though, it's really hard to tell. I will say this, though, and we've said this before, nobody knows what's going on over there, right? When you turn on the radio and or any podcast and we're listening, we admit it. They're not allowing people into these practices and these scrimmages. So the only piece that we're getting is these little 10-minute, you know, end of scrimmage that is all controlled by Whittingham because that's what he does. So it's really hard to judge it. But yeah, it a lot of positives. I feel really good going into this, into fall, and hopefully just stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. Stay healthy, please.
I mean, my concern always is defense, just when you go into a season after you've good yes, job, James. You made a really good point.
My first time ever. Thank you. I'm gonna screen grab this.
Screenshot that, James. Put it up.
I'm gonna put
it on your wall
quick.
No, what I'm saying is we're losing a bunch of defensive guys to the NFL. So that always makes me nervous because we have those spots to fill. However, history has taught us that a Utah defense is always gonna come back and be strong and be tough. And so I'm sure we can expect to see that again. Mm-hmm. And Reed and Barton joked a lot on the broadcast about they want to become the most known linebacker duo in Utah history. And it's like, well, you've got some big shoes to compete against, but
it's a good question. Who is the who comes to your mind when you think linebacker core at Utah? Where do you go? Because these guys have an opportunity to do exactly that.
Well, they were talking about Lloyd and Sewell. Was it Sewell? Yeah. Lloyd and Sewell. I mean, that was, but there was other ones.
Norris Paul was a heck of a linebacker core right there.
They talked about Chase Hansen. Who was the guy with Chase Hansen? I can't remember who the other guy. I
can't remember off the top of my head.
Anyways, that's their goal. So Reed and Barton, that's their goal, is to be like the best linebacker duo that Utah has ever had. So, but yeah, we've got young guys that are stepping up in the defense. So it makes me a little nervous, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
So the portal opened up today. We've lost a wide receiver. I don't think he was going to play anyway, but we lost our starting center from played 8 games, something like that.
Yep.
Last year. So he entered the transfer portal. I don't know what that means. And then it goes till the 30th. So we'll wait and see. I would presume we're going to lose some others. And I would imagine on the positive side, we'll bring in some guys that we need, but I heard an interesting thing, though, and I didn't know this, is that the SEC has a rule that, in this portal anyway, you can't sign a player from another SEC team during this portal opening. So the SEC teams who have money and needs are going outside their league and are going to try to find people to lure in and pay them money.
But then that also opens up a lot of SEC talent that would likely go from Ole Miss to, you know, now Oklahoma that's in there, but they can't. So now they're going to have to look elsewhere if they transfer. So that's interesting.
The thing is, here's the worry, for instance, like with Utah, is Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, any of the big names, they go, let's see what teams in these other leagues, who are their big names, who would fit us well? And they could cherry pick. For instance, like a Keithy.
Oh, God.
Say, hey, come and play for Alabama. We'll pay you $3 million. It's stuff like that.
Yeah, no. It's all
that's just an example, but they cannot go into the SEC and pick off players from other teams. They have to go elsewhere. And they do have needs. So,
I'm not too worried about that. I don't see, obviously, we're going to lose more people. I wouldn't be surprised if we lose a name or two that is surprising. But Keithy, Rising, those dudes, Bartons, they're not going in. They're not leaving. If they were going to leave, they would have left by now, right? So they're not.
James, do not jinx the universe. Like, don't even.
Okay.
There is no guarantee of anything. That's what I'm trying to say. No. This portal is open until it's shut.
Yes, that is true.
You never know, man.
I agreed with you. The portal is open until it is shut. I'm going to write that down.
The portal is open until it's shut.
True.
It's very profound.
Just Mike, clip that one. We're going to need that one. Said that.
Yeah, there's no... That's the scary thing, is there's no guarantees. Like, the guys you think are going to be so solid, who knows if someone throws money? I mean, look at Jackson last year, Jaquindon Jackson, Mr. Utah, Mr. 22 forever, all of that. And he's gone.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. By the way, he's wearing number 22 at Arkansas, which is pretty dang cool. And then on that same note, Clark Phillips, he changed his number to 22 as well with the Falcons. I just love that. Anyway. Cass, no, you're Clark. Right. You're right. If
I'm just worried a little bit.
Comes out to Keithy or whoever, money talks, right? And they have to look out for themselves. They have to, you know, it's hard to turn down that kind of money. So I understand it. I get it. It's just I would be blown away, especially some of the bigger name guys. But yeah, we're gonna lose some people. It's just how the portal is, right? It giveth and it taketh, and you just kind of got to roll with it and. Hopefully we can fill some of those needs that we have with the portal, right? Like, we're not a perfect team. We have to get some people that are going to be leaving some of these schools.
Okay, so I'm going to put on the screen here real quick. This is so ESPN pulled their journalists or writers or whatever, and for the top coaches in the country, maybe everybody saw this, but can you read that on the screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The top 10 college football coaches, they voted Kirby Smart, Kalen DeBoer, of course, the old Washington coach, and number three, Coach Witt, which he is above Dabo, Norville, Lanning. Sorry, we usually have a few Duck fans in our chat. So sorry about that. Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, Leopold, Ryan Day, Ohio State. Hey, where's Texas Mike? Hey, Texas Mike, can we find Lincoln up there anywhere? No, he's not even the top.
This is how you know that this list is 100% accurate, because Lincoln Riley's not even in the top 10. So this is the list that everyone should go off of. Whenever they put Lincoln Riley as like number three in the country, no. That's not accurate. This is wrong. Accurate.
I think the list is pretty good. Yeah, Tat says Witt should be number one. Hey, yeah, but we'll go with number three. That sounds good. I thought it was very, I liked it. That's the respect that Coach Whittingham gets, which
kind
I think
I'm surprised by it, honestly, when some of the other names on there being ahead of, you know, Lanning and Day, it kind of surprises me, frankly. I'll take it, yeah, and it too. Pleases me. But yeah, if you listen to our interview with Yogi, we talked about Whittingham, just the national level of respect and the consistency that he has done, and it's always been an upward trajectory. That's the other thing about Whittingham, right? Like, there's not this one season that's a big bang. Yeah, we've had down seasons, but he's always been able to rebuild and kind of take it to that next level. And that's one of the hardest things to do is as a coach. So lots of national respect for him, and it makes sense.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, Whittingham, okay, he hasn't won a national championship. He hasn't made it to the finals, the playoffs. So I get why, like, he's not going to be number one. He's not going to be number two, but to be number three without having won those games, I mean, that just shows you the level of respect. And the people who are dialed into college football, they see what Whittingham does with the players that he gets. We talk about it all the time. He's the best talent developer there is, where you start with three-star guys, and then they're in the NFL having huge careers. He does that over and over and over again. So absolutely, he should be number three.
So did you see hear the interview of Urban Meyer that he gave his eight elite teams he feels like could win the national this year?
No, I didn't see it.
So the eight teams which he thinks could win the playoff championship, and they were, here's the eight, I wrote them down: Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Oregon, Michigan, and Utah. That's Urban.
That's the elite eight. That's what we call
that's
it.
That's the elite eight. He put us in there.
Of course.
You say what you will, I think Herb's smart, so I'm going with it.
Sounds great to me.
I mean, look at the company he puts us in.
Yeah, you think about it, though, with the new playoff structure, right, and the amount of teams that are going to be getting in. You now have 12 teams getting in. Conference champions are automatically in. So, yeah, it's huge. It's no longer a battle just to be one of those four, right, and the politics that go into that. You win your conference, you're in the playoff, and you have as good a shot as anybody. But, man, that's quite the list. That's some good company. Yes,
What did we have there? Ohio, okay, Big Ten, SEC, 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 Big Ten, Utah, Big 12.
Big 12.
Oh, that's still weird, though, to say Big 12. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. Did you see the picture?
I'll screw it up all the time.
Reggie Dunn posted a picture. He's on the coaching staff now. He posted a picture of the Utah logo next to the Big 12 on a shirt. It's weird, man. It's going to take some getting used to. But I'll get there very, very quickly.
Yeah.
We'll get there. okay.
Can we talk about the good stuff now?
know, we've talked football. Do we know when, before we move on.
Gary, no, we want to move on.
What? Fine. Do we know when what?
Does,
no.
When does fall camp begin? When does summer ball start?
I think it's July, isn't it?
Well, fall camp is typically August. Like, that's yeah, because they get the certain amount of days that they can have before the first game. It's usually, I mean, the official stuff, I think, it starts in August.
They do like the captain run stuff. That's kind of starts in June, July, and then the actual stuff kicks off in August.
Can I, before we move on to the hockey and the NHL coming to Salt Lake, I have to address something here from Lanky Boy.
Oh, okay.
Asked if the Raiders, if the Raiders are going to draft a QB. Well, you know who they're going to get?
Michael Penix.
Penix. Fling that ball over the field, baby.
I would sign me up for that.
AFC West, man.
I know. I've seen a couple mock drafts that have Penix come into the Raiders, and nothing could be sweeter.
So Tat wants us to talk about the NFL draft. When is the draft?
Next week.
How many?
Next week. Next Thursday. I don't know. I don't know what to say
about
it.
We should get on there. Maybe we should do a pre-draft or a post-draft for sure.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about it once it happens. But Tat, we have to talk about the breaking news from this week. We haven't been on here together since it happened. The NHL is
coming. Let's talk NHL
to Utah. You don't. I think the people in the chat, maybe you don't realize deal this is to the three of us.
They have no idea.
This has been a lifelong dream. I never thought it was going to happen. So the fact that it's happening, it's still kind of surreal to me that I'm going to be able to watch NHL hockey in Salt Lake City starting in the fall. I don't even have to wait that long. It's starting in the fall. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yep. So just real quick, it has not been officially announced. However, the season ends tomorrow, I think, is the last game. And so the expectation is on the 18th, the announcement will happen. And then bring up the Coyotes. And here we go, baby. Here we go. And Texas Mike, I heard that you were donating to the season ticket funds. Is that right?
Oh, I heard that. Texas
yeah,
Mike.
We need some donations so I can get
a lot of donations. Yeah. And Thomas Orthodontics, if you're going to like buy a box suite or something, that could be really helpful too. Here we go.
So I did hear part of the agreement, and I'm not, I don't know if this is official or not, but what the sources I was listening to, they were saying that the owner of the Coyotes would go for it, but they wanted to be like first on the list for an expansion team whenever that comes around.
Yep.
And they're going to retain the Coyote name and logo and everything. So everything's going to be new here. Cause I heard people talking about just being the Salt Lake or Utah Coyotes or whatever, keeping the name like the Utah Jazz did when New Orleans came. I'm glad they're changing it. But it's exciting. Have a professional hockey team here. I think it's going to succeed. Problem is they're going to be bad for a while because the Coyotes aren't very good.
Yeah. Get that through your head. Cause this is not an expansion draft. We're not going out and pulling players and picking your team. We're taking the team that was already down there and coming up. Now, I will say they got some guys. If you're not a hockey fan, young guy, Clayton Keller, go watch him. He's a superstar. So
Doan's kid.
Shane Doan's kid. So there's going to be some guys that are going to be up here. It's exciting. We're super excited. I did read earlier today, and I didn't verify it, but I read it. So it's on Twitter, so it has to be true. But the state legislature has agreed and they're going to allow them. But part of it is it has to be the Utah whatever team.
Who said that?
I don't know. I read it earlier today.
Don't quote things you don't know or if they're not true or not.
That's all I do. That's all I do.
That's what Twitter is.
Twitter is. Anyway, I'm super excited. I think they're going to change. Obviously, they're going to change the name because I heard the same thing that you heard, Gary, was that their owner down there. He's selling the team, but once an expansion happens, he's going to be first in line to take them back to Arizona. There's some stipulations that go along with that. He has to have a plan and an arena. They can't play at Arizona State anymore. And so then they'll be able to go back there. But for us here now, there's NHL hockey starting October. And Bryn tweeted this out, and I could not agree with her anymore. If you are not a hockey fan, Saturday, the NHL playoffs start, and there's no better time to start being a hockey fan. Tune it on. Every game is intense. And as the playoffs get deeper and deeper and deeper, it just gets more and more intense. It's there is nothing like an NHL playoff overtime game when it's 2:30 in the morning and it's in the fifth overtime and you can't go to bed. It's great.
That's the thing is the best. I've had a lot of people say to me, okay, I don't know anything about hockey. I want to start being a fan. I want to start paying attention to it. And so I'm telling everybody the same thing. Mm-hmm. This is the perfect time. Like you said, James, NHL playoffs start on the 20th. So in just a few days, turn it on, watch it. It's best of seven series. So by the time these teams get to like game seven, sometimes they hate each other. They're fighting each other. It's like somebody on my tweet said, it's like a finals matchup every single round. It's that intense. So if you've never watched hockey, I get it. Maybe you're not that excited. Give the playoffs a chance and you'll be hooked. It's the best playoff system, I think, in professional sports, hands down. And the most exciting.
Well, the guy's got broken jaw, he's dislocated six ribs, and he's broken his foot, and he's still out there blocking shots. And then at the end of it, after they hate each other, they shake hands, and one team advances. It's fantastic. It's great. And, you know, like you said, Brent, I don't think people understand hockey's our jam. Like, we've been hockey fans for my entire life, been playing since I was 5 years old. So if you do have questions, you want to know anything about it, reach out, because I think that we can provide some insight on it. So really excited.
Okay. So of course, this is the question. Mm-hmm. And everybody has seen all the names being thrown around, all the things. What is your number one right now? I keep changing mine, but what's your number one choice?
Gary, I'll go to you. I know yours is the Yeti, Gary.
Look, for me, I want the historical nature of it. I want it to be, I don't care if it's Utah. I prefer Salt Lake, but the Salt Lake Golden Eagles, bring back the name. If it can't be, I get it because there's the Golden Knights. So if it can't be the Golden Knights, I would go with the Eagles. But there's such a tradition in Salt Lake City and in Utah with the Golden Eagles Hockey Club. It was iconic. I remember going to Eagles games when I was in junior high school at the Salt Palace. There was no better place to watch a hockey game than in the Salt Palace. It's too bad it's gone, or it's at least for that reason. But I used to go to the Golden Eagles games all through my junior high school. I'm old enough to remember when they didn't have glass. It was the old chicken wire on top of the boards. Goalies weren't wearing masks, all of them. Jeez, anyway,
how old are you?
So I was at a game and a goalie got hit in the face and the dude's picking his teeth up off the ice. I was with my dad.
Oh no,
really? That's amazing.
Oh, and it was, you know, chicken wire, they're getting smashed into it, you know. Then they upgraded.
That would hurt so bad.
They got plexiglass. But the thing is, the old Eagles was that yellow and green, the Salt Lake Golden Eagles. Now, you know, they went to different leagues. It was, you know, ended up in the IHL. But the thing is, the Golden Eagles, they changed to red and white.
Yeah.
Because they became the affiliate to the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
And so they were the feeder team to the Calgary Flames. We had Theo Fleury. I don't know if you don't know him. He played in Salt Lake.
Oh, I remember.
I think, is it Stu Grimson? I think played in Salt Lake. Trevor Kidd was in goal was our goalie for a while. He ended up playing for the Calgary Flames. Anyway, we just have a long history.
Remember when Palfy was here? He went to play for the Islanders. But
that's when we were an affiliate to the Islanders. All I'm saying, I would like to have the Salt Lake Golden Eagles or the Salt Lake Utah Golden Eagles. I would go with the Eagles, and I think it'd be cool to go back to the original colors of the green and yellow. That's my preference. I see a lot of people are talking freaking Yeti. That is the dumbest, stupidest.
Tell us how you really feel, Gary.
It cannot be the Yeti. That, I mean, it's a freaking abominable snowman from some other continent. Makes no sense. And it's all the hikers and campers, they got all their Yeti gear. We don't want the Yeti is the name of our new hockey team. There you go.
Okay. I don't know if I have anything to add to that, Bryn. Do you?
Man, no. Yeah, I'm not on the Yeti bandwagon. I know that's kind of like the one you hear the most on social media. I don't like the Yeti. I would like something that is iconic to Utah. I know that's kind of difficult, maybe, but like I have seen people say the Black Diamonds. I like Salt Lake Black Diamonds more than Utah Black Diamonds. Now the one that I'm seeing everywhere is the Cutthroats for like a cutthroat fish. Trout.
That's good for a baseball team. If you're a baseball team, go with the Cutthroat. That's fine. Not hockey.
I still like the Salt Lake brine shrimp.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I'm all about that. Let's do that one.
That's number one, the brine shrimp. No kidding.
The brine shrimp. I don't know. I've seen people say the Trappers.
That was our baseball team.
What?
Our Triple A was the Trappers at one time. Baseball team.
I mean, the Stingers.
We don't want that.
The Stingers. I don't know.
I'm not about
the Yetis. Oh yeah, the Raptors, Amy. You said I've heard that one. Utah Raptors. The only problem is there's the NBA team is named Raptors. I am a little concerned about how they're gonna name it. I don't know, but I'm not about the Yeti. James, I don't think you're about the Yeti.
No,
either.
I'm not at all. We had this conversation at work today. I keep seeing the Yeti, and then the other one that keeps coming up is the Blizzard. That's another one.
They'll be the double Z, like whoever it was. I don't want that crap either.
Yeah.
They're not going to do Blizzard because there's the Avalanche, next door. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm with you. So you can't do the Blizzard. The Yeti sounds like a UFL team to me, right? Like it sounds like a beer league team I would play on is the Yeti. And so I can't get on board with that. There's a lot of names being thrown around.
Blizz.
The blizzard. No, for me, I'm with Gary. If you could do the Golden Eagles, I get it. There's the Golden Knights that are 400 miles down, so it'll never happen, which is really unfortunate because that old school Golden Eagle logo of the bird holding a hockey stick, it's so cool. You can tone it down even a little bit and make it a less
modernize it maybe a little bit.
Yeah, modernize it. A less vivid yellow and green if you wanted to, but you've got a built-in throwback right there. And it does. It's not just Golden Eagles for Golden Eagles' sake. Like it has historical facts here. Pioneers, I've heard that one. It won't happen. I'm partial. I played for a team called the Pioneers, so I'm partial to that. It won't happen. Raptors, I think, would be cool. The Utah Raptors.
It's going to be the Stingers with Z's at the end.
That was a baseball
team. No, it's not. Buzz,
and then the Stingers. The Denver Pine. The hard part about this is coming up with a name that's not already been used by something is almost impossible, right? The Denver Pioneers. And then you've got the Raptors, the basketball team. The Eagles are the football team. There is a lot of crossover, though. I mean, there's Panthers, right? The Panthers is a hockey team and a football team. So it happens. But give me the Eagles. Let's go.
Come on, everybody, vote. Get a hold of Ryan Smith. Tell him you want it, the Golden Eagle.
I texted him. Ryan and I text a lot.
That's why you do the brine shrimp. Nobody has the brine shrimp.
The Brigham Youngs.
I got to say, if it becomes the brine shrimp, that was Gary. Gary came up with it first.
I want some royalty if that ever happened.
We have it documented.
Just season tickets. Mm-hmm. We'll take.
Give me season tickets.
For Gary's payment, we will take lifetime season tickets. That's easy enough, right? Somebody contact Ryan Smith right now.
Gary's ideas were the brine shrimp, the Brigham Young's, or the Utah Mountains.
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 You have to spell
it. Which I kind of like. Low key. I like it. Yeah.
The mountains.
The bison wouldn't be bad. You got the bison out there.
The not bison. Terrible. I'm on board with the bison.
I can get on board with that. Just nothing, I just said, nothing hokey.
I said right. Utah green jello. On. Why not the green jello?
Important funeral stuff, potatoes.
But, yeah, the funeral potatoes. Green jelly. Isn't that Brins? Green yeah. jellos.
The Utah green jellos. And then you throw jello onto the ice.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Okay, but, hey. The playoffs are set. Give me your two teams out of the East and the West.
I don't even have my I don't even have it pulled up.
Okay, who do you think's gonna
who do I think? Yeah. Who do I want to? Hold on,
out of the East. Board. I don't care. At this point, I mean it starts Saturday.
I'm pulling up my standings.
Who do you think's gonna be the two in the final two or the final four? I don't care. What are you thinking?
I mean, really... Vegas has been dominating a lot lately. I don't think they're going to repeat the Utah Sister Wives. How original.
Haven't heard it.
I don't think Vegas will repeat, but I think that they're going to get far.
They're going to be playing Edmonton first round, probably.
Oh, where's our Edmonton fan?
He's yeah, not John. In the chat tonight. Where are you, John?
I know he's not here in the chat, but.
Should be. Dang. What do you got, James?
I'm really west. Worried. I'm out of the West.
I thought give us the east. West.
It's hard to bet against Vegas, especially the way that they manage the salary cap. It's really hard to bet against them. They struggled a little bit throughout the season. They weren't dominant, but they're getting healthy right at the right time. So I think Vegas is going to be a challenge, but then I would love to see a team like, the Canucks, they've been great all year. I would love to see someone like that come out of the West. I don't see it happening. But man, that'd be great. Anybody but the Kings. Give me anybody but the Kings and I'm good to go. Texas Mike, the Stars have actually looked really good this year. So we'll see. It's their goaltending. We'll see what happens with their goaltending, buddy.
Goaltending's good, man.
I know, but in the playoffs, historically, it's been shaky. So we'll see. And I would love, look, I'll say this. If it is Dallas, great. Because Joe Pavelski, rock star. Gary and I actually met him a few years ago. Super nice guy. So I would be on board for that. And then, yeah, those are probably the two. And the Avalanche. God dang it. I'm so excited.
No, it's Avalanche are coming out of the West, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I don't want them. That's my pick. My heart, I want the Edmonton Oilers because I like watching McDavid and Draisaitl. That's my preference. I think it's going to be Colorado or Dallas. I don't see it. I don't see the Canucks doing it. Winnipeg, though, they're a big to solid team. But I think Colorado somehow is going to
come out. You think Colorado's going to win the whole thing?
Out of the West.
Oh, out of the West.
Man, they got some dudes. Their goaltending's shaky right now, though, too. That's their biggest issue. So we'll see.
Coming out of East, what do you got, man?
It pains me, but I'm scared of the Rangers. I think that they're really, really, really good right now. So they're probably
it the is, team. No, that, I can't even fathom.
But the Rangers. I'm not going to pick them. I'm taking Carolina. Give me a Carolina.
No, they're not going to be there.
I like Rob the Bod, Brendan Moore, their coach.
Clayface?
I love it, dude. I love it.
Clayface. I can't choose an East team right now. I haven't. I need to get into the first round a little bit, and then I will pick somebody.
All I know, I'll give you one guarantee, Toronto's getting knocked out in the first round. Just put your money on it.
They're not going to win it.
No, they're not going to win it. It's what they do. Toronto, they get in the first round.
Too many goals, man. They got great. They're too soft.
Yeah, they're not built to get punched in the face. All right, Gary.
You got Boston, you got the Rangers. They're always
there. Boston. So,
all right, there you go. Little hockey.
All we can say is we are absolutely thrilled. We're so excited. We will be talking more hockey. we're gonna sneak it in here somewhere. I mean, we are Utah football fans, but we are massive hockey fans. And with this coming to Utah, it's just bright future ahead. All right. Well, again,
Texas Mike, he's saying that the Maple Leafs have the best uniforms. You agree with that? I like them. I think they're iconic. They are cool.
I wouldn't say they're the best.
Are you saying Jersey the best? Devil's red.
Okay, are you saying the best uniform, Texas Mike, or the best in sports? No. Wow. No. They don't even have they have a horrible
I don't think
logo.
I don't think he said sports. He just
he said maybe sports. Best uniform in sport. They got a horrible logo. It's blue. Give me
I like
the,
it.
It's no. Blue. It's just blue. They just threw up
the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, it's so boring.
Oh man, it's cool. That's what makes it beautiful. It's just very
that's
simple.
Not my favorite. No.
I would take the Red Wings over that and I would take the Blackhawks. Give me the Blackhawks. Give me the Blackhawks. Best logo in sports is the Blackhawks logo. Not even close. Best logo in sports.
It's iconic. So Olympics coming. This
will be a discussion for another time. I got to think about this best logos.
Everybody, if you don't, I'm sure there's a lot here that are not hockey fans or been into it. Look up the New Jersey Devils logo, particularly on their red. You'll agree that is pretty sweet.
Especially in the 90s when it was green or the
80s. Real sweet.
When it was green. All right. Well, we could talk about this all night, but
let's do it. Let's go. Let's talk more hockey. I'm sure there's a lot of people
will be talking
out of their
more
minds because they don't tune in for our hockey. But
exactly. No, we will be talking more hockey because playoffs, again, they start this weekend. Make sure you're tuning in. You're going to get hooked. You are going to get hooked. I can guarantee it. But make sure you are following along, that you're subscribed. And again, hit the notification button so you know when our next episode is coming up. We will be doing another one in a couple weeks. It's probably not going to be weekly during spring, but we'll be doing them every once in a while. And yeah. We've got hockey to talk about now, not just football.
Gary's going to change out that flag behind him. The background's slowly going to change to more hockey back there.
Here's one rule, though, to the rookie hockey watchers.
Okay, but
when
here's
you start watching this is just the rule.
Bryn, listen
when you
up.
Start watching, and this Bryn, this is for you.
Gary's rule to life, blah.
Oh,
blah,
it's
blah.
It's one of the rules, the natural rules of existence. This is one of them. Natural rights. This is one of them.
It's in the Constitution, actually.
Yeah, I think it is. It's in the Declaration of Independence somewhere. when you start watching a hockey game, you have to watch till the end, and it doesn't matter how many overtimes it is. You got that? You have to go to the end. You can't watch the game and then, oh, it's one overtime. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. No. The rule is once you've started a game, you're in. You'll be blessed for it, though. I'm just telling you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brent, yeah, especially when it's a game that the game doesn't start till 8 o'clock Utah time. So by the time the second overtime is going to intermission, it's 12:30 at night. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Go Utah.
Go
I don't
hockey.
Abide by that.
Come on, I'm excited but... this year.
Yes, go Utes.